So if you would go with me to Ezekiel 36, because we had Tina, the prophet, came and just began to speak about a new spirit being released, a new spirit that God is moving across, not just in this house, but many houses. And I believe that there's something happening in our city. I believe there's something happening in our nation. And there's an opportunity in this for us to draw closer to the Lord. And so as we begin to draw closer to the Lord, then we begin to have an awareness of what He's actually doing in us. And part of that is having awareness of what it is to have a true heart, having an awareness of what it is, this access that we've been provided. And so all those things just give us a place to come to Him in a brand new way. And so here in Ezekiel 36, he begins to speak about his promise that he's going to do. This was never fulfilled in the natural, but I believe it is fulfilled in the spirit in you and I. So here I want you to notice that there's four elements. In Ezekiel 36, verse 25, he says, I'm going to sprinkle you with clean water. Verse 26 basically says, and I'm going to give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. That means he's going to remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. In 27, he reiterates, and I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, that you'll be careful to observe my ordinances. And you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers so that you will be my people and I will be your God. You'll be my people and I'll be your God. See, there's four elements that he's calling us to right here. There's four elements, and that's a washing of the water. There's another element where he's going to give us a new heart and a new spirit. And then he's going to call us as a result of all that he is doing. Say, he is doing. As a result of what he's doing, then he's going to release and call us his people and be our God. See, that's something that he's establishing, he's doing. And when she was speaking about those things, I had already been reading and looking in Hebrews. And if we'll turn to Hebrews 10, we'll see the same four elements are here. I know I ministered on some of this on last week. Some of this will be a review for last week. Some of it is just a continuation or a further explanation of some of the things that we actually already explored. So you were wanting the rest of it, Andres? We'll get to the rest of it. So here we have in Hebrews 10. See, in Hebrews 10, this portion of Hebrews 10, he's actually summing up all the things he's been teaching you throughout the book of Hebrews. He's summing up. We don't know exactly who the author is. It very well could have been Paul, but if it wasn't Paul, it was somebody who studied under Paul, because the same revelation that Paul carried is being explored and expounded upon in this book. But Hebrews 10, he's summing up those things, because he's been telling you about the priesthood of Jesus. He's been telling you about who Jesus is, and he's been telling you that he's the one who's faithful and true. He's been already indicating why his priesthood was important. And he's beginning to sum all these things up in this moment. In verse 16, he begins to tell you that he's already taken into account all your sin, and that he's not going to remember it anymore. As a result of what happened in verse 12, where he sat down at the right hand of the Father. See, something that the natural priest couldn't do. The natural priest had to stand up when they went into the holies of holies, because there was no place to sit down. Why? Because the work could never be finished. But here, he's saying, when he came out and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, he's saying, the work is finished. That which could not be done in the past, that which could not be done in the natural, now by the Spirit has been completed. So he's given, and I appreciate the lone hand clap, hallelujah. So now he's given us some more things here. He's following up those same four elements. Let me just read through it real quick. Since therefore we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way, which he inaugurated for, through the veil, that is his flesh. And we have a great high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a sincere heart, a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, with our bodies washed with pure water. See, those same four elements are being explored. Now, the elements look slightly different, but the water's already there. The heart's there. I'm giving you a new spirit. It's already being spoken of in these passages. It's being released in these passages. I'm doing something new, because when he went into the tabernacle, when he passed, the veil split. Remember, the veil split. When the veil split, it exposed something that had been going on for almost 600 years, because the high priests had been going in and worshiping, presenting an offering at a place there wasn't even an altar anymore, because the altar had been removed. See, that's something we exposed last week, was that at the time when the Assyrians were coming, the priests had taken the altar, all the things out of the Holy of Holies and hidden them, but they were never returned. So when that veil split, all of Israel saw there wasn't anything in there. God was signifying that glory has passed away, but there's a new glory that has come, and I'm giving you access to the new glory. Just simply as that natural veil was split, I've split the veil in the Spirit. And now you have access to the real glory, not just to a copy, but the actual testimony. Because why? What is the actual testimony held in now? It's held in the person of Jesus. He is effectively the ark, the real ark, because the testimony is within him, and the testimony is within you when you step in with him. It's a new and living way, a way that continues to change as you grow. See, when something's living, that means it is always adapting, so that as you're growing in the Spirit, that way continues to grow with you. Why? Because it's always going to be greater. Why? Because it's a heavenly activity. It's a heavenly growth that's there. So then the more that we see him, the more that we know him, there's always more there for us. There's nothing, we can never get tired of presenting ourselves before the, sorry if you're on the front row, we can never get tired of presenting ourselves, because there's always a newness. Always a newness. But here I want to show you something. There's two activities of the blood of Jesus. There's a corporate activity and a personal activity. The corporate activity is revealed here when it says we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Remember back in Hebrews 9 verse 12, it says this: but through his own blood he entered the holy place once and for all. Once and for all. Why? Because he is endless in his life. His life has no end. And so, whereas a natural priest could only go for so many years because they didn't last longer than that, his priesthood stands forever, because he lives in eternity. And because he's in eternity, the way that he made stays open for all of eternity. That means you don't have to wait for your access. It's already open for you. You don't have to wait, because it's already been made clear. That's the corporate activity. Back in Ezekiel 36, he said, they will be my people and I will be their God. See, that's what the blood opens up. Corporately, see, the blood has two effects. Two effects. Because, see, when he decides to be your God, we get to decide to be his people. there's a corporate, he's already decided to be your God. He's already decided to make the way open to you, to make the way available to you. And so he opens that up by the Spirit. And so at the same time, when his blood comes and cleanses our hearts, now we decide to be his people. The second effect of the blood. That's the second effect of what the blood does. And if you'll see it, you'll see in Hebrews 9 and 14, it says, to cleanse your conscience from dead works. The blood cleanses your conscience from dead works. Hebrews 10 and 22 says it this way, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. See, when we understand, when we hear the word evil, we understand it to mean something that's dark and foreboding. And that can be true, but that's not the only limitation. But we understand evil to be like something dark and foreboding, something that is terrible. But at the same time, evil is also something that's even more mundane than that, but just as dangerous, maybe more dangerous. And that is that it comes from the word, from a root word that means to labor, to be full of annoyances, to toil. Follow the hardship. See, what he's talking about here is an atmosphere where our heart is full of an orphan spirit. If our heart is full of an orphan spirit, we'll never connect to the Father as he really truly is. We need to understand who Father is and understand that he's my Father, then he's good, and that he's not like maybe sometimes for our natural father was, but he's always going to be good to us. He's always looking for the best for us. And if I can see him and meet him in that place, then I can see him and meet him as he really is. So my heart has to be clean from an evil conscience, a consciousness that reacts to the world out of an orphan spirit. Because if I'm busy reacting to the world out of an orphan spirit, that's going to make me demonstrate things that don't look like Christ. I know, none of you have ever done that. It must just be this crowd that's watching by live stream that's pulling on that, right? Okay. When we're operating out of an orphan spirit and somebody just does something that seems unjust or improper to us, we want to begin to defend ourselves. See, if we're defending ourselves and God didn't call us to defend ourselves, it's coming out of that orphan spirit. When we're trying to defend ourselves and we didn't allow God the space to come and defend us, generally what's going to happen is there's going to be a reaction that doesn't look like Christ. See, we should never let a person or a situation cause us to act in a way that's less than what Christ paid for. Love is love does. Right? Because if love is love does, that's the response that's going to come up. When love forms our character, when love is forming our character, then our character will reform our response or our conduct. It will be an actual response instead of just a reaction. Because, see, normally when we do a reaction comes from the place of our hurts, a place of our wounds, a place of those things that we didn't yet deal with in our life. But if we'll cause a response to come up, if we'll allow for a response to come up, that response will come up out of the nature of God that God placed in us. I know I got really quiet in here a second ago because I know. But you know what? If you keep those toes out there long enough, Jesus will heal it. I have faith. I have faith that he's going to bring healing. Because it's his delight for us to respond to the world around us out of his character. It's his delight for us to look like he does. And it's his commission, like the prophet was just telling you earlier, everybody has a part. Well, our part is to respond out of love. Our part is always to look and manifest the love of Christ to the best of our ability. Amen? Amen. Let's say if we're busy with responding to the world with an evil conscience, or it's a thought that we're still an orphan. If we're responding to the world around us like that, we're not going to represent who Christ called us to be. We're going to miss out. We're not going to take advantage of all that was made available to us. See, there was when you became a Christian, when you accepted Christ in your life and you accepted this new nature and you chose to engage this new nature, there were some things that shifted in you. Became available to you. If you'll notice here, all these four things that he's talking about in Hebrews 10 and 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. That's number two. Having hearts clean, sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, number three. Washed with pure water, number four. That's four fingers, right? Okay. I was counting, but not moving my fingers at the same time, so. But all four of those things, guess what? Father's doing the actions. All four of those only require our surrender. I'm not the one who has to initiate the action. I simply surrender to what he's already made available to me. And when I surrender to what he made available to me, I get to respond to the world around me out of a pure heart. I get to respond to the world around me having my body washed pure with water. I get to respond to the world around me out of a fullness of faith. And I get to respond to the world around me because he's already made it possible. Because he washed me in the blood. See, that blood stands as a testimony over our life forever and ever. We need to take advantage of what is available to us. See, we got the wonderful, you guys did an awesome thing and came together and sent us, Kim and I, on a cruise. And when we went on the cruise, it was wonderful, but we didn't have a lot to eat because we were having to hang out in our rooms and just eat the bread and crackers that we brought with a little bit of water. You think that didn't happen? But see, if we hadn't read and understood what was available to us, if we didn't understand what was made available to us and we never read the brochures that came with the cruise where they told you, hey, you eat what you want, when you want, where you want, all the time. 24/7, it's available. If you want to stuff it down your throat, we'll make it available. And they kind of did, which is awesome. But see, if you don't know, if you don't take advantage of it, it doesn't change what your situation is. We would have been hanging out in our room, just eating the bread and crackers and wishing we had something to eat that we could participate with the rest of the people on the boat with. Ship, yes. Yeah, don't say a boat when you're out there. It's a ship. It's a mortal sin to say boat when you're on a ship. Don't know why, but it is. So what you have to do is take full advantage of this thing that the Father has already done for you. Full advantage, because see, when you begin to read the instruction manual that he left, the instruction manual begins to declare all that's been made available to us, that we can have as much as we want when we begin to participate with him and begin to engage what he's already declared. And he says, as much access as you want, I've already made it open to you. As much love as you want, I already made it available to you. And he says, I've made my relationship available to you. Remember the blood? Remember, he said in Ezekiel 36, did you become your God? We become his people? That's because the blood, when the blood gets on you, you just receive what that blood brings with it. Relationship. See, even the Indians had a custom where the two could put a slit in their wrist and they would join their wrists together and have an exchange of blood. I don't think we have to do that today to prove the point, but they became and they believed that this mixing, intermingling of the blood would cause them to be blood brothers. Relationship. When his blood sprinkles on you, Steve, you became a blood brother. When his relationship, when his blood sprinkles on us, we become a blood brother, a blood sister for some of you. Because it's his desire to bring you into that relationship, because out of that place of relationship, there's a solidness of our expression of who Jesus is. That's when that personal action takes place, when he sprinkles us with the blood. Corporately, the blood made open our access to the Father. Privately, individually, when his blood sprinkles our heart, it gives us the purpose to walk in with him. To become one with him, to become one in identity, to become one in purpose with what he's declared. So we draw near, sincere heart full of assurance of faith, free of that thought pattern that keeps us at bay, that keeps us not engaging the fullness of what God's made us available to us. When our eye becomes clear, it's the same thing as when your heart gets sprinkled. Why? Because no longer is there a place for the evilness to sit. We're no longer a place where an idea of toil and hardship is our understanding of how to get to the Father. You know, it's so ingrained in us. I hear lots of ministers talking about it, and ultimately, if you boil down what they just said about coming to the Father, it really comes down to you doing something instead of you receiving something. It's about us receiving what has been made available. When we receive what has been made available, now there's an openness that happens in the Spirit that we get to step through, because he is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. It's his delight to receive us. We step through. I think there was something else that I wanted to bring out of that. See, a true heart's not just a matter of our discipline. Some of you people were very, very disciplined in your heart. You disciplined your life. Not all of us disciplined our life that same way. But it's not a matter. Our approach to him is not a matter of our discipline trying to walk in a certain way, trying to talk in a certain way, trying to present a certain aspect to the outside world. Because if our heart's not in it, it doesn't matter how good we make it look for everybody else. If our heart's not in it, then we're missing the point, because our access is not out of our discipline. Our access is out of what he already accomplished. Our access is simply out of our surrender into him. A positioning of our heart in that place of surrender. It's his delight. It's his delight to walk with you. It's his delight to be with you. There's two marks. The hardest time, I guess the easiest way to separate it out is what happens when you get into an old environment. When you get into an old environment that has all those familiar markings on it. Because see, if an old environment causes us to be something less than what Christ paid for, then that old environment is describing your situation instead of who God is describing your heart and your situation. You know, that old environment where somebody cuts you off in traffic. Uh-oh. What do you do? The old environment where you go to a familiar place or some familiar situation, or if somebody has a response to you that's less than godly. For me, one of the old environments that actually the one that still I have to deal with is because for years and years my whole life consisted of doing things that were concerning customer service. And so when I get around that old environment and somebody doesn't treat me in the same way that I would have treated them, it doesn't always go well inside. I have gotten much better, and I have had moments of victory, but at the same time, there are moments that I still move over to what the old man would have done to some degree rather than evidence who Christ is in me. Now, recently that did happen, and because when we were having all those computer problems here, I had the man out, and I didn't jump in his mix like I would have, but I also didn't represent Christ like I should have. Why? Because it was an old environment, and rather than recognize, and don't look at me like that, I'm so disappointed. So rather than representing who Christ was, see, it was some mixture in between. It fell short. But see, that what all I have to do is set my heart on who God called me to be. It doesn't matter what the environment says. It doesn't matter what the environment is. When my heart is set, when my heart is true to who he called me to be, then the natural reflection is who he is in me. I know, it was disappointing. But when love forms your character will form your conduct. The object is to allow more love into our character. The object is to allow the love to change who we are fundamentally. Because when we are... awareness of the love is greater than our awareness of the offense. When our awareness of the love is greater than our awareness of the environment, we'll always respond out of something that represents love. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Did I redeem myself? I want to be real with you, okay? This is real. Because if we're not real, if I'm up here telling you that I'm perfect, you guys are going to be missing it. Because you're going to follow me, and that ain't going to work, and it ain't going to wind up where you need it to be. So if I tell you what's wrong as well as what's right, it all gives us an example that we can go for. Because the example that we're going for ain't me. The example that we're going for, it's not even Carlos. I mean, if you can believe it. The example we're going for is Christ himself. Hallelujah. I mean, we would all be nice if we could all be like Tina, but we can't, okay? So she's trying to wave that off over there. Hallelujah. Golly, I still didn't get it all, bro. Leviticus 17:11 tells us that the life is in the blood. Psalm 119. Oh, let me go to John 1. John 1 says that in him was life, and that life became the light of men. That means that when his blood sprinkled you, that light came upon you. That light begins to illuminate the things in our heart and bring us into a place of recognition of his purpose. That light, when that blood is sprinkled on you, as Psalm 119 says, that light becomes a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Those things begin to come into effect because the blood is sprinkled on your heart. It's a personal effect, one part of the personal effect that God has for the blood in your life. There's a release of light as we recognize what the blood has already uncovered and done for us. It's a release of light because it's not only showing you what you did in the past, but it's showing you the path to the future. It's showing you the path to what is to come. Because when we look as to what is to come, that's going to be a whole lot more attractive than keeping our life and letting our life be derailed by what was in the past. I know that was a lot in 25 seconds, but as we let the light, the lamp of God, shine into the future. As it shines into the future, we begin to draw into the future. We begin to draw and to behave and to look as to what we are and what he declared we are. Because why? Because we can see it clearly over here. It's his purpose for the light. It's the natural response of the blood being upon our heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. This, I guess I better wrap up. Hallelujah. We do have another service coming in a few minutes. I just want to encourage you, just allow the awareness of this access, the awareness of drawing near out of a new heart and a new spirit. Because see, it's in this, these are the things that cause us to respond out of a new spirit to the environment around us. These are the things that cause us to react and let a new heart come into ascendancy for us. God bless you. We love you. Amen.